Golf Smarter Premium, number 495, published on June 30, 2015. 150 putting drills with World Golf Hall of Fame putting champion, author of Make More Putts, Juan Gutierrez.
This is Golf Smarter Premium. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Juan.
Hey, Fred.
How are you?
I'm doing great today.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. You know, it's so interesting. I know that you've been a Golf Smarter listener for a long time. I remember seeing your name come up because you've been active. You've been asking me questions. And sometimes I will have Golf Smarter listeners write to me and say, hey, I've written a book. And I'm like, oh, great. I would love to talk to you about the book. Send me a copy. I'll take a look at it and we'll talk about it. You know, and I roll my eyes sometimes and sometimes I get excited. But when I received your book, and we can show people a copy of it, when I got your book and it said 2011 World Golf Hall of Fame Putting Champion, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. This guy's a champion and he's listening to the podcast? You're kidding. That's incredible. I was so honored. Here's the copy of the book for the people who are watching on Periscope.
Well, I've been listening forever.
I've been doing this forever.
No, it just seems like I think it's probably been 7 or 8 or 9 years you've been doing this podcast.
Actually, I'm coming up to my 10th anniversary. Coming up in December, it'll be the 10th anniversary, yeah.
Well, congratulations for that.
Thank you.
When I retired, I started looking for information about golf. And I don't know how I got onto finding your podcast to begin with, but somehow – I found it and enjoyed not only the original Golf Smarter podcast, but then you did a series called, I think it was called Golf Smarter Tips, which in that case, I have both of those still on my computer in my iTunes folder. I just go back every once in a while and listen to some of them and find value. Even after 8 or 9 years later, there's some gem or great idea that I am reminded of or learned for the first time by reviewing those. So thanks for doing that.
Well, thank you. That's very nice of you to say that. I appreciate that. Yeah, we did in 2008, we did Golf Smarter Tips, and I think that we did almost a couple hundred episodes. And we had 5 different people on, and each day we had a different short tip. They're like 5-minute podcasts. And it was putting, mental game, short game, fitness, and I can't remember the last one. But yeah, we've been doing Golf Smarter for a while, and yeah. I continue to do it because I have so much fun, and I get to meet people like you who have something to teach me, which is why I do this. It's a very selfish podcast. It's all about how can I become a better golfer.
Well, let's talk about how to help you make more putts.
And I think that we should talk about how to make more putts. I enjoyed the book very much. Thank you again for sending it to me. And to let people know, how do you teach putting in a book, right? It's tips, 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 and tips. And they're short, quick tips. But before we get into the detail of the book, I want to know a little bit about your history on how, in fact, you did win the World Golf Hall of Fame Putting Championship.
Yeah. Well, after I retired, I decided to play golf again. I played golf in high school and in college, and then didn't play for many, many years, like in my entire career. So when I decided to play, I practiced maybe a little bit too hard and ended up with golfer's elbow and tennis elbow on my left arm. So, you know, I was like, oh, this is a setback. And I went to the doctor and he said, oh, you can't hit golf balls. You can't chip. You can't take full swings. You just need to rest it. I said, this is not working for me. So I said, could I putt? And he said, well, of course, as long as you don't beat the putting green with your putter, you can putt all you want to. So I decided that, hey, putting is one part of the game. It's an important part of the game. People say it's like 40% of all strokes. So I said, why not? Why not just try practicing putting for as long as I can until I'm allowed to take full swings again? So I just started practicing putting and would come home every day after about 2 or 3 hours on the putting green and think about, okay, what are some drills I could use? How could I approach it? What could I do? And after a whole series of times, I just started searching the internet and said, I like mini golf. Certainly there's real putting tournaments. I never heard of one before, by the way. So Google and Bing are your friend. And I did a lot of searching and found that the World Golf Hall of Fame, which is located in the St. Augustine area in the northeast part of the state of Florida, where I live, that they hold an annual putting tournament. That's primarily for people, I would say, about 200, 300 miles around there. That's where most of the entrants come from. And I said, what the heck? I'm going to enter it. So I entered it. I didn't fare too well the first year. I think I finished 42 out of probably 270, 280 golfers. So it was a start. So I thought, okay, what did I learn from this? And I went back and practiced. And I actually practiced a lot. I practiced somewhere around 700 to 800 hours for about 2 years each year.
Wow.
And that's 2 hours a day on the putting green. And I also took that opportunity to get some instruction and get putter fitted and do everything I could think of to help me get better and better. So
I'm curious.
I'll talk about those. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious. Were you getting really frustrated that you couldn't swing a club, or were you just falling in love with putting and just totally focused on that?
Putting is 40% of the game, as I said, you know, as Dave Pelz would say. So I said, if I can use this time effectively to improve this 40%, I won't have to spend that time as much when I go back to being able to swing the club fully. So I wasn't depressed or sad or anything. It was like, okay, this is a gift. It says you have to focus because you can't focus on anything else. Because a lot of people, you know, they go to the driving range and hit balls, but you rarely see them on the putting green. And if they're on the putting green, they're what I would call exercising, not improving. And they're hitting three balls around or two balls around, and they often don't have a plan for improvement. They're there just to get better. And I've often asked people, what are you working on? And often I get a blank stare. Like, what do you mean am I working on? I'm working on making putts. Going, well, what part of your putting game, what part of your putting is not too good? So I'm thankful for that gift. So eventually I went back a couple years later and played in the tournament again. It's an unusual tournament in that they have one round of stroke play. So you compete against everybody else for the lowest 16 scores. The lowest 16 scores then go into a traditional match play event, single elimination to determine the winner. And I think you have to play five matches to win. I think that's how the math works out. And on that Saturday in 2011, I defeated all comers. So I remember that day very well because I won three of the matches on the 18th hole.
Oh, that's so exciting.
And in each case, I two-putted, and the guy I was playing against three-putted. So
that's not.
Well, the 18th hole was about 80 feet long. It's uphill. If you played it to the left, it goes down, actually off the green. So it was in a tight pin position. And, you know, unless you stayed in the right place, you didn't have a chance to two-putt.
So you're competing on an 18-hole putting course?
Yes, it's one of the few. They have separate 18 holes of putting. So they have the holes are about 25, 35 feet wide. The green, 25, 35 feet wide, and somewhere between, I'd say, 60 and 160 feet long. So hole number one, visualize it to this day, it's uphill. It's usually about a 30-foot putt. And, you know, you just keep score like you do in stroke play, or in match play, you keep score the same way.
That is so interesting. And what was your low score? What was your winning score? How many long putts did you drop?
I think I was in those five rounds. I think I was two under par for the five rounds of match play.
And every hole is a par three?
Every hole is a par two.
A par two?
Yeah.
And you're at 60 to 100 plus feet away.
And some of them are only 20, like hole number 16 is about 27 feet long.
Oh, okay. So then it's like a normal putting green.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah. With about 8 foot of right to left break.
Okay. That's big.
So you obviously have to be able to read the putt to get it close to the hole. And the greens aren't really particularly fast. They, if you were out there with a stimp meter, they'd probably be about an eight. if they were a 10, they would be unputtable because there's so much break. Like I mentioned, the putt that's 27 feet long with 8 foot of break, you would, that same putt would have probably been 15 foot of break, and you couldn't have kept it on the green after it passed the hole. So there was kind of a match there between the stimp and the amount of slope they have on those greens.
You know, I have people come to me and say, I want to get my kids started in golf. What do you suggest that I do? And after speaking to a number of teachers about this very question, it seems to me that what you should try to do is get your child to fall in love with putting. That if you start them on the putting green, and which is a very easy concept, put the ball in the cup. There's the cup right there. Because, first of all, hitting a golf ball is not an easy thing to do. But if you can fall in love with putting and make a game out of that and make that, you know, especially when they're young, if they can get that in their head and they're comfortable with that, the rest of the game should probably be pretty easy.
Well, I don't know about the rest of the game being easy. But
comparatively.
But the putting thing is, I mean, we're talking about, if you're starting with young kids, we're talking about not necessarily well-developed motor skills. Their hand-eye coordination is not what they'll be when they probably get older. And so putting is relatively simple because you have a hole, maybe it's 8 or 9 feet away. That's 4 1/4 inches. You have a golf ball that's about a third of that size, and you're just stroking it. And you know, you see kids, not necessarily at a golf course, but how much fun they have playing miniature golf. And miniature golf is the same as regular golf. So if you can get them to like that and enjoy that, and there's tons of fun games for kids to do, but it's really about making it fun for the kids and teaching them some just basics about gripping on the putter and, you know, lining up themselves up, and they'll get it and they'll enjoy it. And, yeah, and it makes it easier later on in life.
Absolutely. Makes it a lot easier. You know, as I was explaining to you, we're broadcasting this conversation on Periscope right now, and we just got a somebody who wrote in to me while we're talking saying, I love golf and I'm 12. So welcome to the show and thank you.
Yeah.
And fall in love with putting, buddy.
That's right.
You'll have a great time.
So tell your dad Matt to buy the book, Make More Putts.
Yeah, Make More Putts. Make More Putts, A Proven Putting. There you go. There's the book. I'm showing it off on Periscope right now by Juan Gutierrez. There he is. And let's get into the book here, and let's get into some putting tips, because so often I feel if I could just putt, I would be a pretty good golfer. I've made some big changes in my stroke, my body position recently. My grip has changed. I've always been a pretty upright left-handed low putter. And recently went down to more of a crouch, kind of looking like what Michelle Wee is doing these days. I'm not as 90 degrees in my body as she is, and keeping my elbows a little tight, but it's all shoulder rotation. And I went to a normal, you know, right hand low grip. I changed because I was coming up short so often that I was getting very frustrated, and I was three putting a bunch on the short ones. But my putting has improved since. A lot, and my scores are definitely going down. It really is the key. You know, everyone wants more distance. You know, as long as you can get there and be accurate with your short game, it's all about the putting at that point.
Sure. And the book, when I wrote the book, when you said that you're getting better at putting, when I wrote the book, I started out with a simple idea, and that was, let's do an assessment of your putting and anybody who wants to putt. And by doing a standardized assessment, then you can see how good am I now. And after some practice or some coaching or a change in putter or whatever kind of modifications you're going to need, whether it be the grip or the stance or whatever, then you can see if you're improving or not. Because if you take fewer putts on the putting green, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're a better putter. It may be that you're chipping closer more often. Because you can hit 18 greens of regulation, like I've been known not to do. I've hit 16 and 17 greens of regulation sometime, but my average length of putt was 35 feet. So, you know, I could say I had a bad putting day when I only had 36 putts, but that's probably a pretty good putting day.
Yeah, that's
when
a good
your average
point.
Proximity is 35 feet, because pros average 3.1 putts from 30 feet and beyond. So actually 36 putts would be a good putting day if your proximity hole is 35 feet. So by using a standardized test, you can always tell and compare yourself to anybody else, how good are you at putting? And then the drills or whatever are designed to help you get better at improving your score on the assessments. And then they'll translate onto the green.
Some of the things that you talked about in the book, which I really appreciated very much, was you talking about lack of focus and that frustration is okay. Let's start with the lack of focus part when you're practicing and when you're putting.
Yeah. If you're asking somebody to do a drill, let's say it's a very simple drill. What you're trying to get the person to do is make five putts in a row from 3 feet, 5 feet, and 7 feet. So it's a total of 15 putts in a row. It's amazing, and if you've ever tried this yourself, how your mind wanders. So I'm making my first putt. I'm making my second putt. I'm lining up my third putt. Oh, you know, my grip felt a little different on that third putt. Maybe I should adjust a little bit. My shoulder doesn't – you know, somebody's walking over there by the side of the green there. I just saw their golf. And you know, that's – your mind just tends to roam as opposed to just stay focused, because you can quickly get your off on mechanics, what's going on around you, or the fact that you pulled the last putt left and now you need to maybe block it out more to the right so it goes in, or you missed it because it lipped out. So many thoughts go through your head that a lot of people will find it hard to stay focused when they're practicing. And that's when the values of an intense practice situation is, it not only helps you improve your skills, it helps you improve your focus, because you have to pay attention for every one of those 15 putts if they're going to go in the hole. And the other side of that, Fred, is it's normal to get frustrated. I mean, you get frustrated. You've seen people on the pro tour, as well as your friends, as well as yourself, get frustrated when you miss a putt you think you should make. And it could be a putt that was a 3-footer, or it could be a putt that was 25 feet that you talk about coming up short, just stops in the jaws, just one half roll away from going in. How easy it is to get frustrated, particularly if you're playing in a scramble and realize that you just let your team down. We could have had one. We could have been below par in that hole, and then all kinds of thoughts go through your brain. So that's normal and natural. Just accept it and move on from it.
Yeah, I think it is always interesting to me that on the frustration level, if you three putt, if you're not putting the way you would like to, that can mess up your entire round. I mean, you could be hitting greens in regulation and three putting and you're miserable.
Oh yeah. Or you're on hole number 8, you just missed a putt of 2.5 feet on hole number 7, and it's still in your mind as you're teeing off number 8. And it's still in your mind as you're in the fairway on hole number 8. And certainly when you get to the green, it's in your mind because you've just rolled a putt, let's say from 30 feet to 2.5 feet. Now you're thinking, am I going to miss this like I did the last one on the hole right before? So it can occupy. And if you make it, then it's like, okay, I guess I got this under control. I'm not sure, but I think I do. Okay, I can move to the next hole. But it could destroy a round for some people, or at least destroy a hole.
For those who are now watching on Periscope, and because I'm talking to you via Skype video, I'm going to take a little sidetrack here. I have to ask you about the aquarium over your left shoulder there. Because you mentioned it before we started talking, you mentioned it's a 100-year-old aquarium. What?
Yeah. Yeah. It was an heirloom in our family when I was growing up. It was in the kitchen in our home, and it's made out of a steel. It's like a steel or iron. I'd say it's iron probably. And it looks, and it's Art Deco. Look, it has an Art Deco look to it. And I wish I had could drag the TV around, drag my computer around to show it to you. I'll actually send you a picture afterwards. And it has several unique features, one of which is there are lights that go underneath in the front. So if you removed all the gravel, you could turn on the lights. And here's what a light box would look like.
Can oh, that's that? So cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's the switch to turn it on.
Oh my God.
And it still turns. There's the wires to connect it up. Now
what's
we know
the,
that we
what's
know that
the
fish
oldest
don't
fish you have
light
in there
coming up light from the bottom. So yeah. we don't do that. So I didn't redo this, but I spent about 100 hours redoing that aquarium. It was basically this kind of metal, if you will. It'd been sat in the basement, trucked down to Florida when my dad moved down, and it was in total disrepair. I cleaned it up. The has three different kind of paints on the side. The aquarium is unique in that as the glass goes above what would be the typical rim of the aquarium, this much glass here is actually beveled glass above where the normal steel sides are. So it was one of those projects that I always wanted to keep for maybe one day when I retired or when I had 100 hours of time to go find the paints, because they don't make those paints anymore. I mean, the paint that was on there was from probably 1920, 1915, and they were lead-based, and you know, we don't sell lead-based paints anymore. So it was a labor of love, and it was just a I keep it there as a constant reminder of my family.
That's a very cool story. But what's the oldest fish you have in there? You don't have any 100-year-old fish in there, do you?
No,
or turtles?
No, I've probably got he's a little catfish. He's probably 3 years old, maybe 4 years old.
Oh, okay. So. All right. So I think it's now time we start talking more about the book. I think the audience would appreciate it more if we got back on track. So in the book, again, it's not a thick one. It's Make More Putts, a proven putting performance improvement system. And you you definitely did that subtitle to trip up the non-professional announcers with all the P's there. But you give some charts in the graphs in the back and worksheets. Assessment charts, which I thought was really awesome that you can just make copies of and take them with you. But more importantly, you have 150 different types of tips, and you break them up into different sections. So let's talk about your first section on the tips is rock solid mechanics.
Yeah. And I would say there are more drills than tips. And the whole concept is that you need some solid putting mechanics to be a good putter. And I will use an example from yesterday. I was out on the practice putting green for a while and took one of the tips there and worked with it for quite a while. It's one called Down the Chute. And it basically, in the book, it says lay down two golf clubs. What I just laid down was two alignment rods. It's number 21 if you're looking for it. I laid down two alignment rods and then just practiced putting in between the two alignment rods. And what I noticed that was I was pulling the putts to the left of the hole. Every single putt was left of the hole. And the reason I was doing that had nothing to do with bad alignment, but had to do is I'd move the golf ball too far forward in my stance. So it was more towards my left toe because I'm right-handed. So the club face at that point is starting to close. So every putt was missing the same about 4 inches. I mean, I was consistently missing 4 inches to the left on this 10-foot putt. It was a straight putt.
Does that necessarily translate to if I'm going a little bit right on every one of them, that means the ball's too far back in my stance?
That can happen. Wow. There is a place in your stance somewhere to the left of your left foot if you're right-handed, and you could find out with the alignment rod easily by putting in between them, where when you putt the ball – the ball will come square off the putter face and go in the direction you want to. If that ball is too far back, your putter face is not yet closed and you're going to push them all to the right. And if it's too far forward, you're going to pull them all and it's going to go off to the left. And that's just the angularity of a arced putting stroke. You know, if you're rotating, like you said earlier, around your shoulders are an arc. And so at some point in time, you're square to your chest, square to your shoulders, square to the line. Other times, if you rotate forward beyond that, you can see that you're open. And if you're back here, you can see you're still closed. So if it's a tip, and that is, you can use the drill that talks about using two golf clubs as a chute, or I use two alignment rods just because I had them, same concept, and help yourself understand why you might be pulling or pushing putts. It may be as simple as your ball is not in a consistent place in the right place in your stance. And that's why it's so important. You can see how much attention people pay on the pro tours to their setup when they're putting. You know, they have a very consistent putting routine, so the ball pretty much ends up the same place. It may end up right over their logo on their left shirt, and they will work hard to make sure it always ends up there because they want to make sure that the putter face is square at that point.
That's interesting. How do you measure, or do you give a tip on here or a drill in here on how to measure at what point the club face is square and how to get to that spot consistently in your stance?
Well, I don't give a tip in there, but I can give a tip to your listeners. It's real simple. If you lay down the two alignment rods and choose a straight putt of 10 feet. So it can be straight uphill is better than straight downhill. Straight uphill of 10 feet. Put your two alignment rods so that if a ball was running right down the middle between them, it would go right into the hole. Follow me on that? So these two alignment rods will be maybe 5 inches apart because that's a little bit wider than your putter face. 6 inches apart is even better. So place the ball down and place a tee outside the alignment rod so you know where that ball place is. Track me? Then put a tee at both of your toes. Now you know exactly how far or width apart your feet are. You know exactly where the ball is. Start hitting some putts. If you see you're pulling them, take that tee, not the ones on your toes, the tee that's on the outside of the line, and move it back, let's say, an inch, and see what it does there. Move it back another inch. At some point in time, you will find out the right distance. You can play with it and move it forward if you want to, and you'll end up pulling them. But whatever problem you're having, pulling or pushing, simply move that tee in one direction or the other, and that's where the starting point where your ball is.
That's a great piece of advice.
Yeah. What happens to me is, and what happens to other golfers is, and I'll use an example. You know, on a longer putt, maybe we're more fastidious, and we make sure we're aligned properly. But then we get to like the 2 or 3 footers, and it's almost like, well, it's almost a tap in, and we don't want to spend all that time setting up because it's only a 2-foot putt. Well, then what happens is you place it too far back in your stance, or you place it too far forward and you pull or push it and you get mad about it. Just spend the same level of energy by having a consistent putting routine with your 2-footers as you do with your 18-footers, and you will make more of those 2-foot putts.
That's great. That's awesome. I'm going to just hang up from you and go run and do that. Because I've never, on everything that I focus on my mechanics, it's ball placement is like, yeah, I'll move it here and I'll move it there. And like, oh, I got to hit it a little farther, so I'm going to put it farther back in my stance. But I've never associated with the ball going a little bit right or a little bit left with where it's sitting in my stance. That's such a good piece of advice. Thank you.
You're welcome. You could see the same thing with your full swing, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that I've noticed. That I've definitely noticed. But then you talk about taking your mind off the mechanics.
Yeah, there's becomes at some point where you just got to leave. You've got to leave the mechanics alone. It's like eating. Okay. You are at a stage in your life, and the 12-year-old young person who was kind enough to come in on Periscope, at his or her stage of their life, they don't have to worry about where the fork goes. It goes right to their mouth, right? They don't worry about, let's see, I've got to grip this properly. Now, the only time they have to worry about that is that they go to an etiquette class, and they're taught now how to properly sit and which knives and which forks to use and how to put the napkin on your lap and how to sit at the table and keep your elbows down. Then a whole new learning has to occur, okay? But normally, you don't worry where the fork goes. Well, at some point in time,
this is a Dr. Joe Parent tip, right? Dr. Parent's been on multiple times and talked about, you know, you can do that every time with your eyes closed, right?
That's right. You can feed yourself with your eyes closed. It's because you practice it so much. So, you know, I put in, like I said, 700 or 800 hours a year for 2 years in a row. I don't really think much about the mechanics. And you don't have to get to 800 hours of practice. But what you do have to go out there and work on your mechanics enough where you don't have to worry about them anymore. But I mean, if you just go out and throw 2 balls down or 3 balls down before you go to your play around of golf and just see how fast the green is, that's good. But that doesn't help you improve your putting stroke. So you're going to be out on the course, and I guarantee you people will be messing with their putter grip. They'll be messing with their stance. You know, and if they don't do it during the round, they'll do it between rounds and go to another one. You just need to get practice, and that's the key to getting better at any swing, whether it's a little swing or a big one.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I want to we don't have a ton of time left, so here's the way I'd like to do it, because obviously we can't go over 150 tips in this episode, because first of all, we want people to buy the book, right? It is available on Amazon. It's called Make More Putts by Juan Gutierrez. Please go to Amazon and buy the book. Or, you know what? Come to the show notes for Golf Smarter, and I will have a link to Amazon so it'll go directly to it. You don't have to search for it.
That's great.
Yes, of course. So here's what I would like to do. We're going to break it down this way. What would you suggest as being the best tip, or I'm sorry, the best drill out of your book for somebody who's struggling to break 100? And you can see where this is going. Next will be 90.
Oh, best tip to break 100.
Not necessarily to break 100, but for somebody who's struggling to break 100. Okay, you know, people who are like, you know, how they said, right? Okay.
I just want to make sure I'm referring to the right one when people take the book. There is a drill that I like to do that keeps my whole body kind of consistent so that I am making sure that I have a firm right wrist and a firm left wrist. And the drill is real simple. It's you grab the putter with your right hand. If you're right-handed, you take your left hand and don't put it on the putter. Grab your wrist so that your knuckles of your left hand are touching the top of the putter. Follow me on that?
Yeah. For those of us on Periscope, why don't you, lift your hands up so we can see your hands.
My hands high up.
All right, good.
So
good.
I've now got my putter.
What tip number is this from what section of the book? Do you remember which, or can you tell us which one it is?
For the Periscope listeners, I'm grabbing my putter. Does this work?
Yeah, that's good. With
my right hand on it, I'm holding it high enough. Grab your left hand underneath so that the top of the grip is touching this little web part of your left hand. Okay?
That works for me. And which tip was that? Do you remember the – do you have any idea of what number it was?
I don't remember the number.
Okay, that's fine. And what's it called?
It's called firm right wrist.
Firm right wrist. Okay, good. That works. You can look that up. All right. Now, for somebody
then,
who is
practice putting
with your holding it like that.
Holding like that, because that way you're rotating your shoulders and you can't flip your wrists, because rotating your shoulders and flipping wrists are two of the ones that cause people a lot of problems. And that's my favorite.
Oh, that's very good. And yeah, I think that the flipping the wrists, a lot of people don't even have a clue. They think they're rotating their shoulders, but they don't even know they're flipping their wrists. And that is a big problem, right?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Now, if somebody is really wanting to break 90 for the first time and they feel that their putting is holding them back and they opened up the book called Make More Putts by Juan Gutierrez, which drill should they look for to help them break 90 for the first time?
Most 90 golfers end up with a lot of three putts. They end up with 38 to 40 putts. And so what I would recommend is drills that have to do with turning long putts into tap-ins. One of my favorite drills is actually an Aaron Baddeley drill. And that's what it's called. It's called Aaron Baddeley. It's a drill. And it's a ladder drill. A ladder drill means you're putting from various distances. So I would simply have to look through the book here and find the page number for the Aaron Baddeley drill. But anybody who wants to look it up can find the Aaron Baddeley drill. It's probably right there on page 61. And where you set up putts at 10, 20, 30, 40 feet from the hole. You create a little circle around the hole of 3 feet. And you got to get three in a row from 10 feet, then three in a row from 20 feet, and three in a row from 40 feet, 30 feet, and three in a row from 40 feet to complete the drill. If you miss, then you got to start over, because what you want to do is try to get the long putts closer and closer to the hole. And that's where most of the 90 shooters have difficulty. The number of three putts is too high. So they've probably got some decent mechanics, but they really need to reduce the number of three putts. And if they practice those drills, not only have fewer three putts, but their second putts in general will be a lot closer to the hole. So it's a lot easier.
Very good. Very good. All right. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to kind of skip, I'm going to skip the 80s. Someone who's just struggling to break 80 or the mid 80s shooter, because that's a lot of golfers are there, especially people who are listening to the podcast. I'm going to ask you about giving a drill for a scratch golfer. And then what we're going to do is we're going to take a little break because I have some announcements I have to make. And then when we come back, I'm going to ask you about a drill for someone who's a mid-80s shooter trying to get down to the low and below 80. And we're going to record that on video as well. So we can make that on, we'll show that on Facebook and we'll share that and put it on Golf Smarter TV. And you will make it a visual as well. But right now, why don't you tell me about somebody who's a scratch golfer. So a lot of their game, they've got all the parts of their game, but they still can cut a couple putts off of each round. What would you suggest as being a drill for them?
Okay. They actually have a drill called Intense Practice Regimen for a Single-Digit Handicap Golfer. It's on page 55. And it's a drill that if they did it, Fred, and they wanted to do the entire drill, it would probably take them about 3 hours to do the entire drill. So I recommend they, if they have the time, they can do it, because the average touring pro spends somewhere between 7 and 10 hours a week practicing putting, independent of warming up. So if you really want to become good as a single digit golfer and get it lower, you might want to devote the 3 hours. But if not, you could break it up. The drill lays out 6 separate parts. You make 103 footers in a row from the 4 points around the hole from north, south, east, west, or 12, 3, 6, 9. You then do 106 footers. You don't have to make them in a row, but you have to make 106 footers. 45 9 footers, 45 12 footers, 45 15 footers. And then there's a whole series of 10 putts from 10, 20, 24, 7, 30, 36, 40, 45, and the list goes on. And not only do you have to make these, but the most important thing is, Fred, take a sheet of paper to the putting green with you so you can record how many of these you made. So of the 45 12 footers, you might not make them all. Probably nobody ever will, but you at least know last time you made 22 of them or 23 or 24 or 25. So you can see your improvement all over time. And also it provides a goal for you to keep on getting better at those distances. So that covers everything from the short putts to the long putts for the single digit handicapper.
Excellent. All right. So now, if you can, we're going to take a little bit of a break here, and you will come back and give us a tip for those of us who are shooting in the 80s and want to get into the 70s on a regular basis, and what we can work on our putting. Is that okay? Can we do that?
That's perfect. I'll be ready when you are.
Thank you so much for being a premium subscriber. I truly appreciate it. If you've not been listening for a long time, this may not mean much to you, but to those like Juan who've been listening to Golf Smarter for a long time, I actually just can't believe that we're rapidly approaching episode number 500. That's quite a milestone in the podcasting world, especially if you're doing a weekly show. If you're doing a daily show, yeah, it's not that big a deal, but weekly show, it means we've been at it for a while. Now, I'd love to say this was always part of my master plan, but I'm telling you, this is about as random as a hole in one. Episode number 500 is going to be published on Tuesday, August 4th, which is President Obama's birthday and former pitcher Roger Clemens' birthday. But it is also my 60th birthday that day. And I can't think of any way I'd rather celebrate sharing with people who don't care about my birthday, but are part of the community, and I really appreciate and excited about sharing it with you. Now, I'm really excited that the show is, the episode 500 is going to be recorded in front of a live audience here in Northern California, but unfortunately, you're not invited. The show will be in front of a gated retirement community. Paradise Valley Estates in Fairfield, California has 2 golf courses managed by Kemper Sports associated with the property. And our guest that episode will be the general manager of both Rancho Solano and Paradise Valley Golf Course, Rich Cessna, certified PGA instructor. Topic of the show will be Retirement Means More Golf. And I'm sure we're going to get a lot of tips and insights on how senior golfers can get the most out of their game. And I always feel that being 60 is kind of like being an 80s golfer. When you're 60, you're young to old people, but you're old to young people. And when you're an 80s golfer, to people who are shooting, you know, over in the 90s and up, you're a good golfer. But to really good golfers, to scratch golfers, you shoot an 80, you're okay. But next week, we're going to get the complete rundown on the all-new Ben Hogan irons with our old friend and company CEO, Terry Kaler. I also want to remind you that the tip you're about to hear is on video, and it can be found on our Golf Smarter Facebook page or at youtube.com/golfsmartertv. I also include the video link in our weekly emails, and if you'd like to be included on those emails, drop me an email to fred@golfsmarterpodcast.com. All right, we're with Juan Gutierrez, author of Make More Putts, who's going to give us a drill for those of us who are struggling to break 80 to get into the 70s, how to become a better putter.
Hey, thanks, Fred. My favorite drill for that group is called competing against the pros. Everybody likes competition. So there are five sets of putts a person works on, and they can keep track of their score, and the data that I give you will be based on the ShotLink data that's used on the PGA Tour. So from 3 feet, the person has to make 21 putts in a row. Usually from 3 feet, PGA pros make all of them in a row, but after 21, that's about enough. Then you move back to 6 feet. You now need to make 9 out of 13 putts, which is a little bit more than 50%, because it's actually closer to 80%, which is about what they make on the PGA Tour from that distance. Then you move back to 10 feet, and you have to make 6 out of 14 putts, or 3 out of 7, 42% PGA data. So then you move back even farther to 15 feet, and you're going to make 5 putts out of 19 chances. So that's basically 1 out of 4 at 10 feet. And you see every time the person goes back a little bit farther, the percentage drops off because that's what happens the farther we get from the hole. And finally, when you're 20 feet, you've got to make 3 out of 20 putts. So which is about, you know, 15%, which is about what they make on the PGA Tour. So again, the number you need to make in each of those cases matches what you'd expect if you're really good and someday grow up to play on the PGA Tour, or the LPGA Tour, or the Symetra Tour, or the Web.com Tour, or the One Asian Tour, or the European Tour, or the list could go on. No matter what tour you're on, no matter where you are in the entire world, if you're not a good putter, you're not going to be there for long.